In the Greek, we know that Jesus was asking, do you love me, agape? That's that perfect God love. And Peter said, I love you, but not perfectly. And isn't that us? Yeah. Good, Peter. You were honest. Love it. And then what Jesus says to him when he says yes, he says, show me. Show me you love me by feeding my sheep. Amen. Don't just tell me you love me. Feed my sheep. And that's a great thing. I love this conversation because you know what? That's what women do. We feed. This works for us. Feed my sheep. And I think there's several layers that it works on. First of all, that we need to say our children, we need to be feeding them real food. We need to eat it ourselves and we need to give it out. We need to be eating God's word and putting it out to a lost and dying world. Sunday school teachers, who's a Sunday school teacher? Feed the children the word of God. Lift up the word of God. Be full of the word of God. But you know what? You can't pour out that which you don't take in. That's an important principle. And here we see that this is the way that we show our love to God. It's by feeding others. That's why I like to memorize scripture. God has challenged me in these last year or so to memorize scripture. And in our one-year Bible, one of the great things that I love is you open the Bible on January 1. I love January 1. It's my favorite, almost my favorite day of the year, better than Christmas, because it's like old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. I have a fresh year. No footprints. No mess-ups yet. Everything is just there. And I open to Genesis 1. Matthew 1, Psalm 1, Proverb 1. It's a great way to start the year. And in Matthew, a few days later, about January 6, you hit Matthew 5. And it's the Sermon on the Mount. And last year, I was just challenged as I read the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought of Jesus by the Sea of Galilee, standing up. And then drawing his disciples to him and sitting and teaching them this amazing, life-changing new way of living. And he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that weep, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on and on and on. 3 chapters, and the Lord challenged me, like, do you like it? Do you love it? Do you want to live it? This cannot remain outside of you. And the Lord challenged me to memorize it. And some of you are thinking, no. And I was thinking, I'm not sure I can do that. 3 chapters? And the Lord made it the most thrilling event of the year 2007. And this is what it was like, memorizing those 3 chapters, the whole Sermon on the Mount. It's like turning loose this great, big, amazing, gentle, powerful giant. And turning it loose inside of your soul. And he just walks around. And wherever he puts his foot, he wants dominance. And right about the time I was memorizing the Sermon on the Mount, there's this part that says, it has been said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Well, about that time, I had an issue with my neighbor. And my neighbor was my enemy. And when I came to that part, and it was right, she just got extreme, just right at the time when I was memorizing it, and Jesus said, I want eye contact now. He said, you have heard that it was said to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. And then he said, but I say to you, love your enemy. Bless those that curse you. Do good to those that hate you. And I was going, Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and he sends his rain on the good and the evil. That's a powerful thing. And it totally reeled me in. And that gentle giant put his foot on my soul and said, be good. And the power of God, of the Word of God living inside of me, transformed me. And I remember as he walked me through that until this day, and I kid you not, I love my neighbor. The Lord, as I pray for her, has given me pity and mercy for her and insight into what's made her so mean. And I pray for her soul. And I feel like God has put it on my heart that I'm going to get to share Christ before she dies. And Jesus said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. He asked Peter again. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, I do. And he says, listen to this. Tend my, is it sheep or lambs? Lambs. No, first feed my lambs, then tend my sheep. I love that word, tend. It means take care of. Take care of people. Again, for us as women, this is our gig. This is what we were made for. God made women to take care of people. And when we are released to fulfill our destiny, we absolutely soar on this. I have a friend that has taught me so much about this. She is a caregiving girl. And one time, we're just hardcore together. We love to hand out tracts. We love to share with gays. We had this appointment. We have a friend who had a gay sister, and that gay sister agreed to come and have dinner with us and spend a whole evening with us. And so my friend arrived early in the day, and she bought this great big dinner of ham and mashed potatoes and green beans. And she dropped it off, and then she said, I'll be back in about an hour. And she went to the hospital with her ham and mashed potatoes and green beans. I said, okay. Unusual gift. Usually you take flowers, but fine. Go ahead. And she arrived that day. She arrived in the hospital room of a little teenager who was dying of cancer. And she walked in with that dinner that God had put on her heart. The little gal looked up and she said, I can't believe it. That is my all-time favorite dinner. And they ate it together as a family. My friend left. And that was the last time on the face of the earth that she ate. That was a divine appointment. And then back, she came back, and my friend's gay sister came. She went in the kitchen, and she hadn't had a home-cooked meal in a long time. And there was ham, mashed potatoes, and green beans. And she made a big plate, and she spent the whole evening with us, and the next day she came to the Lord. It wasn't rocket science. It was feeding. It was feeding, taking care of, nurturing people. God has destined this for us. And I love the Gospel of John. And I brought a couple hundred of these. And this is like my favorite thing, the Gospel of John. I love to carry it everywhere. And the Lord wants us to take care of people's souls. It's souls that are in trouble. And when we nurture them, when we show a moment of care and step into their dilemmas, the Lord uses that. I was driving down the street one day. I was in Oregon going to my friend's house for dinner. And I was driving in my little rental car. And as I drove down the street, I saw a woman come out of her house. She was talking on the cell phone and she was sobbing. Like that. I couldn't hear her, but I could see it. And I got about a block more down the road, and the Lord gave me a holy tug. And that holy tug was, you got to go back. And I'll tell you in all honesty, I knew I had to go back, but I had no idea what I was going to do when I went back. I feel the same way as you. But I did. I turned around, because to not obey is to disobey. And so I turned around, got in front of her house. I thought, well, the next thing would be to drive in her driveway. I did. And I thought the next thing would be to roll down my window. She walked straight to my car and looked to my window. And I said, excuse me, I just felt like God wanted me to come and give you this. It's a piece of the Bible. It tells you God loves you. She looked at me and she said, well, this would be a very good time to do that. Okay. It's good. It's going good so far. She put her hand on the window there. And I said, do you think it'd be all right if I could pray for you? And she looked at me and she said, rock on. So I just put my hand on her arm. And I just prayed, and these are the words I prayed. Lord, you know, I don't know what she's going through, but I feel like you sent me here because you do. And you wanted to know that you, wanted her to know that you know and that you care and that you love her and she can call out to you and that you'll answer her. And I pray that she would do that and she would find help in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, that wasn't rocket science. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. And I said, you're welcome. Rolled up my window and drove away. But you know what? I didn't change her life. I didn't fix her problem. I don't even know what her problem was. But I did what I could. And that's what we need to do. We can't do everything. But that doesn't excuse us from doing something. And I brought, like I said, a couple hundred of these. And if anybody feels led, a holy tug, you may take them absolutely free and tuck them into your purse. And then you'll be armed and loaded for that moment. And then Jesus asked again. He said, Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, you know I do. You know I love you, Jesus. And Jesus said, show me. Feed my sheep. And so there it is. We are called to minister in a lost and dying world. And you know what? If his design was to use the angels, he'd be doing that. But he chose to use us, and it's our great privilege. I'm going to close with one more little story. Like I said, we go to orphanages in Russia. And this summer, a couple of my friends, a little team went, and this girl in the center, you can't see her, but I'm going to leave this up here, is a school teacher from the Bay Area. And this girl up here is one of our Russian girls that came to the Lord when she was about 15. And that day, they went to an orphanage that they had never been to. We're trying to knock on the doors of orphanages in lots of cities so we can go and minister. So this was a brand new orphanage, and they arrived first time, and it's one of those clearinghouse orphanages where people, kids that come in new into the orphanage system come there, and then they're sent out. And this little gal right there is, I believe she's 14. And that very day, her mother dropped her off at the orphanage because mother's boyfriend said, it's either her or me. And mother chose boyfriend. Okay, so you're a 14-year-old girl. You've been dropped off by your mother because of boyfriend. That's a horrible day. An hour or so later, in comes this group of Americans from clear across the other side of the world with a message. And we always have a theme. And their message this year was, Jesus is your best friend. And he will never leave you or forsake you. And he came all the way from his throne on heaven to live life here on this earth so that we would know that he knows. And I'm just thinking about that. Is that a divine appointment or what? If they went and did that 10-day stay just for her, how good is that? How good is that? And that's what God has set up all around us. And you live where you live for a place of influence. You work where you work. You go to the grocery store where you grow. You are deputized on God's mission for a lost and dying world. So let's close our eyes. Lord, we thank you. We thank you how you restore us, how you change us, how you give us promises. But God, forgive us. We're like the beggar who's got bread and then puts it in our pockets and forgets that there's other beggars who are starving to death. Lord, I pray that we would be hungry to be fed by you. And then with that same bread that you fed us, we would give it out. Lord, we thank you that you're right here with us and you're in our midst. Pray that you continue to feed us. Thank you for the food that we're about to eat. I pray that you bless the fellowship. I pray that we would really fellowship at the tables. In Jesus' name, amen.